Good morning and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. To continue our sprint through the world of college baseball. Today we stop in Utah to discuss everything Utah Valley baseball. Is their head coach Eddie Smith? Good morning, coach. How are you?
Great, Terrence. Good to see you.
Good seeing you too. Now, you're from Olympia, Washington. I'm guessing that the baseball, because of the weather, it was tough to do in the spring, but how did you find the love for the game and how did it become your path?
Well, I think if you look at the love of the game part you asked me about, it really goes back to being a kid, going to baseball games at the Kingdome with my dad to watch the Seattle Mariners. There was a AAA team about a half hour from our home that we would go watch a lot, the Tacoma Tigers, now the Tacoma Rainiers. And just being around the ballpark, couldn't get enough. I really loved it.
Now, going to Notre Dame, how was the culture shock going from the Pacific Northwest to the Midwest where you have extreme weather?
Yeah, it was culture shock, and that was the biggest part of it for sure, from the baseball side and just everyday life. The Northwest gets a bad reputation for its weather, but very, very rarely does it get below 40 degrees. And while it might rain a lot, that rain is a drizzle and it's occasional and it's off and on. Whereas you get to the Midwest and you've got feet of snow on the ground for months of the year, and kind of navigating that and truly understanding that you can't understand it until you live it. Because, in the Northwest, it would snow maybe once a year. The snow would melt the next day after you play in it and go sledding and have a snowball fight, and you're back at your regular life. And total different world in the Midwest. Indoor practices, indoor ground balls, on and on and on, going on the road for 3, 4 weekends to start the season. Just a different animal for sure.
Now, right after our graduation, you graduated in 2006. At that point, being a player, did you want to jump right into coaching or did you want to play a little more?
Oh, I certainly would have kept playing if I was good enough to. I think that, coaching is awesome. It's the best thing out there next to playing. There's nothing like playing the ball game. But it was a point in my life where it was time to stop playing. There weren't options for me, and I was really fortunate in the options I did get to go on and coach and to start my coaching career immediately was really, really a great break for me.
Now, your first stint was at the University of Virginia. Where do you look back and say, wow, you helped to kind of build a foundation that eventually won a national title?
That time was such a formative time for me and in coaching, and I'll just forever be grateful for the time there. From Coach O'Connor, the head coach, Coach McMullen, who worked with the position players, Coach Kuhn, who was the pitching coach. It was just a wealth of knowledge. I was a sponge. Those guys made such an impact on me as teachers of the game, as leaders. How to run a program, how to build a program. I was just so fortunate to be along for the ride and try to absorb as much as I possibly could from them. And it's stuff that I've taken away. And as I've worked at other places, I've tried to really, really impress so many of the things that we did at Virginia on those other programs I've worked at.
Having such hitting success in various places, how would you boil down your approach to hitting?
I think there's a lot of things. I think every player is a little different. I think every year is a little bit different. I mean, this season, we just, for whatever reason, haven't played very many games outside of 30 and 40 degree weather. But this year, the name of the game has been try to stay positive and keep confidence because, gosh, that ball just doesn't come off the bat the same as it does when it's 75, 80 degrees out. There's been other seasons where it's been different. Motivational techniques or focal points for a team. Every year is different. Every player is different. I think the important thing is, really, really trying to get the most out of what you have where you are. And that's the constant challenge. That's the fun challenge of trying to piece that puzzle together day in and day out, no matter where you're at, no matter what year it is, and get the most that you possibly can out of the players that you have.
As a coach, what's more difficult, make coaching an average hitter to become good or coaching a good hitter to become great?
Sorry, Terrence, you just broke up a little
Hello.
bit there. Could you repeat the question?
Sure. As a coach, what is more difficult, coaching an average player to become a good hitter or coaching a good hitter to become a great one?
That's a really good question. I would say it's probably more difficult to coach an average player to be a good hitter. I just think that hitting so much of it is just a natural skill that can be refined. And, I think a lot of times when you talk about an average player, that natural skill is probably at an average or even below average level, which is why they're an average player. And man, if they don't have that baseline level of skill to be above average, it's really hard to realize any gains for that hitter. And so, that's where that recruiting piece becomes so critical in bringing in good players and, trying to turn good to great from there.
Now, you mentioned recruiting and coaching in the WAC conference. It because of the location of schools, especially like you said, there's snow on the ground. What do you look for in a player to be a Wolverine? Is there a certain what would you seek as far as the intangible first?
Definitely important that we get somebody who's a self-starter. Definitely important that, we have a roster full of guys that are willing to put the work in on their own at times. The NCAA limits us in the hours that we can work with our players, for one. For two, you're never going to be a great player, especially a hitter, unless you're willing to go in and hit and hit and hit on your own before practice, after practice, put that preparation in to be the best that you can possibly be. And it's important to have somebody with that motor that runs really, really high because, on our staff, we have a total of co three coaches that are paid. And you divide that by 40 players. And the reality, and this is the reality for so many schools, the reality is that you don't get a lot of one-on-one time in coaching a player because we're out in recruiting, we're out in scheduling flights, we're out ordering the turkey sandwiches for the players, we're trying to get light bulbs fixed at the ballpark. Could go on and on down the line of the other things that are part of the world for us three coaches. And you look at it, we've got to have players that become their own most motivator, own best motivator, and their own best coach.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to discuss the road trips involved in the WAC conference and take a look into your players. That's after break. You are listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdDrop podcast. Terrence Biggs, head coach of the Utah Valley University Wolverine baseball team, Eddie Smith, coach. The WAC conference is a spread out conference. You have a wide range of states and travel. How do you keep your team focused during these long road trips?
It definitely is a spread out conference. And there's a lot of beauty in that. We get to get on a plane, fly across the country, see different sites, eat at different restaurants. I think there's a lot of beauty in that, a lot of memories to be made from that. As far as keeping our players focused, I think there's a balance to that. Our players know that, hey, when it's go time, it's go time. And we're there to play the ball games, and that's always our first priority. But we also have some downtime in our sport. And when there's downtime, we allow a lot of freedom and flexibility for our guys. We try to do, per diem instead of a team meal, often just to give our guys that flexibility. Hey, they might have family in the area, family that they're visiting, friends in the area, just a chance to go out and see the different areas that we get to go to. Because I think that's a really cool and unique thing about Utah Valley, about the conference is, hey, whether you're in Texas or New Mexico or California, Arizona or Seattle, we're so spread out and you get to see the world a little bit. And hey, what better avenue than college baseball to do that? Really cool thing for our guys.
Now, you've had success at the coaching level, especially even with hitting. Do you ever just walk out in the field when no one's around, look around and say, you know what? It's a long way from the Pacific Northwest, but I'm kind of embracing this moment. Do you ever sit back and reflect your path there and the success you've had in being just appreciative in the moment?
I definitely try to be. I mean, I think gratitude's a very important thing to recognize because As the day goes and goes and goes, so often there's so many things that are pulling at you and stressors that are added that you got to go take care of in this role. But I'll tell you, walking into this ballpark, I've got a great office where I've got one of the best views in the country, I think. We've got majestic mountains beyond the left field wall. The sunsets here are incredible. I could go on and on about it. We just got a really, really awesome facility, and we're working to do everything we can to continue to, spread the word about how great our facility is and put a ballpark and a team on the field that, kind of matches the caliber of this ballpark. And I think those are the moments where I sit there very often and try to appreciate what we have here, because it is really special, and it's been a fun journey to get here. There's no doubt about that.
A couple of players I want to discuss. One is senior Patrick Mills and freshman Daniel Dickinson. When you see these two players at various points in their Wolverine career, Mills being the senior, Dickinson being the freshman, do you see Patrick and his approach being able to influence Daniel's progression?
I think so. Patrick is a true professional prospect. It looks different. It sounds different. It feels different when he's at the plate compared to pretty much anybody else that we play against. It just is, it's different and special. And, you ask about Daniel Dickinson. He's got some great ability for sure. He's also got a killer instinct about himself that, is unique and elite. And I think him being able to see somebody like Patrick play the game at such an elite level and find ways on base in so many ways and hit balls so hard, I think really, really helps Daniel recognize, hey, Patrick owns that zone. Patrick is walking as much as he's striking out statistically. Patrick is willing to take a borderline pitch to get to hit a better pitch. And you see that in Daniel also, which is really mature for a freshman. And I don't think that Daniel would be able to have that maturity without being able to see it right before his eyes, day in and day out for Patrick. So definitely some great, great stuff going on there with those two guys.
And in a bullpen, you have a reliever in Ethan Foulkes, really big reliever, live arm, has that mindset of being able to shut the lights out for another team. How much comfort is that to know that if you have a lead and you're up, you can hand the ball off to Ethan or say Josh Brown and be able to know that the win is going to happen?
Tell you, Ethan's been amazing for us. He's just come in this season. He's become a leader on our pitching staff. He's really, really dedicated to being great, and he's brought our whole pitching staff along with him, which is awesome to see. And his stuff and his performance speaks for itself. I mean, he's a 90 to 93 mile an hour fastball. He does some great, great things out there, and it's something where what he has brought to this team is immeasurable, not just with what he does on the field, but also with what he does to make his teammates better every single day. And I just can't speak highly enough about what Ethan has done for us. There's no doubt about that.
When you're not in the field or on the in the office, how do you get away from the game?
Ooh, I'll tell you what, in 2023, with the nature of college athletics from the transfer portal, to just how competitive recruiting has gotten, there aren't a whole lot of escapes. If you're not working, somebody else is, and that person's going to beat you. It's become a reality of Division I baseball that it's progressed to that point for sure. But I think over the last couple of years, with the changes in college athletics, it's become at an all-time high. It took a monumental leap as far as the workload that's involved, and so. I speak, I think, for our whole staff on this. We don't really have a whole lot of hobbies. There's not time to have a hobby if you're coaching Division I baseball. And it's come to the ballpark and do the work, and that's about 11 months of the year type of thing right now. And you got to love this game to be great at it. And feel very fortunate to have an opportunity in this game for sure.
Growing up as a Mariner fan, who's your favorite Mariner?
Oh, that's a great question. We had such a really exciting opportunity to go watch unbelievable players when you talk about the 90s Mariners. And, Alex Rodriguez, Hall of Famer to be, of course, Edgar Martinez, Randy Johnson. But I don't think there's anybody from my era that can't sit here and say Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, that sweet swing. I was fortunate. I was 5 years old when he hit his first big league home run, and I was at the Kingdome that day. And just every time he went to the ballpark, the announcer just said his name in a way that just brought energy, and you just knew something special was going to happen. So hard not to say Ken Griffey Jr., that's for sure. The kid.
Now, as a Washington resident, Washington native, does that mean the Seahawks and the Sonics, when they were there, were also two of your favorite teams?
Gosh, that's a good question. I was a big John Elway fan, so the Denver Broncos growing up were the team that I followed closest. I've since probably kind of gravitated towards the Bengals. I love Ja'Marr Chase. That guy is one of my favorite players to watch, probably in the history of football. So I love watching him getting the football and doing work. He just never gets hit hard. It's awesome. He's just so slippery and always makes the play, I feel like. So, with that said, on the basketball side, ironically, I was always a Utah Jazz fan. Our family had some connections to the Stockton family, who also from Washington. And so I had a chance to meet John a couple of times as a kid and his family a couple of times. And, very impressionable moments when you're a young kid and you get to see somebody in person and meet them. And so here I live now in the state of Utah, and the Jazz being right up the road, it's kind of a cool connection to share stories about, those great battles that the 90s Jazz had with the Bulls in the finals and with the Seattle Supersonics and the Phoenix Suns with Charles Barkley and Kevin Johnson. And so, really a point of conversation and relatability here living in Utah now.
Now, with that, and being from the Pacific Northwest, I'm guessing that seafood was readily available. When you go out to eat, when you do get a free minute, where do you go eat and what's on your plate?
Great question. I found a couple of places here in Utah that I really like. One is the Sundance Resort. There's a place called the Owl Bar, and they've got a chicken sandwich that's unbelievable. Best I've ever had. It's like Chick-fil-A, which we all know is unbelievable in its own right, but times 10. And
Oh, wow.
it's a little more formal, a little more spendy, but gosh, it's worth it because it's unreal and a really, really cool little restaurant there. So that's probably my best go-to here in town. But I'll also tell you that there's a place called Mo Betta's that I really have enjoyed. Hawaiian food, chain restaurant here. I don't know how many locations there are, but there's, I would guess, 10 to 20 here in Utah that are really, really good. And so those two places have been my favorite places here in town.
Eddie Smith, head coach of the Utah Valley University Wolverines baseball team. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AirDrop Podcast.
You bet. Awesome being here.